disciples about the last days, and the separating of the sheep and the goats. And he looks at the goats and he said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. When I was naked, you wouldn't clothe me. And he said, depart from me into everlasting judgment. And they cry out, when did we see you hungry? Or when did we see you thirsty or naked? When did we see you and not help you? And Jesus responds to them, and inasmuch as you have not done it to those around you in need, you missed that opportunity to do it for me. Depart from me. This time of confession is no accident. You're still alive. You're taking in oxygen. Your heart still beats. It is not your judgment day. It is a day where God speaks to you, salvation and life. He cries out to you to practice integrity. Get rid of all hypocrisy. He speaks to you and says, is there something you're not dealing with, honestly? Is there a sin that's hidden that you think is not seen by others? Is there something in your life where you know I'm calling you to serve or make a difference, and you constantly shout back at me, no? God is giving you and I an opportunity this morning in this time of confession, not only to agree with what his word says, but to hear it speak to us individually and personally. I have called you by name, the Lord said. You are my people. You are my church. You are my building blocks that I put together to accomplish my purposes upon the face of the earth. You are the healers and the rescuers. You are the individuals I send forth in the power of my Holy Spirit, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to accomplish the purposes of my heart. And so as you stand before God today, let God's Spirit search your heart. Lord God, if there's any hidden sin in us, bring it out into the light. Give us the courage to deal with it. If there's any hypocrisy we continue to hide in our heart, Lord, bring it out into the light. Help us to deal with it. Lord, build in us integrity, purity, and true wisdom. Let us be your people from the deepest part of who we are inside, to the most expressive thing that we are outside. Come and let your will be done in each of us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. If you're dealing with something hidden and the Lord is asking you to deal with it, then I'm going to encourage you to let me know. I'll stand up here. We'll get other people. The end of the service. Otherwise, talk to someone, confess that sin, because in some cases that's just what God is trying to deal with and help us to change. Jim.
Greetings from God's Word. They're a little hard today. But he loves us. He is a God of love, and he gives us words of discipline sometimes, but out of love. First reading is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 30 and 31. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Beginning in Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God."
Where you have a short-term mission that is going to be taking place, it's called CALM, C-A-L-M, and Lori Newhouse is coming up, and she is a representative of that group organization, and I'm going to let her talk to you about it. And so, kids, I want you to listen, because I'm going to be talking about some of the things she's talking about in the children's sermon, which takes place right afterwards. Lori, they're all yours.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you all for your interest in our organization and your partnership in making us the quarterly mission. And I don't know if you've ever heard of CALMS before, but as you see, Central American Lutheran Mission Society. But also, we have a tagline that is the same acronym, that we are connecting and advancing leaders in mission and service. And that becomes very important under our new executive director. We are shifting our focus a little bit from being strictly gospel-centered geographically in Central America to going even wider on the globe. Could you change the slide? I've got some pictures here that show some of the different people groups that we work with. You see indigenous people in Panama called the Kuna, in the upper left. On the right are children in San Miguel, Guatemala. The lower left shows Belizeans and one of our former missionaries, Grandma Peg. And in the bottom right is a group of college students who visited in Costa Rica. So we try to really kind of be a force in the region, and our ministry mainly is about connecting congregations from the U.S. In these relationships with people in Central America. And we're really hoping to accomplish really three main targets. One is that we're trying to produce committed disciples of Jesus throughout the world. And here you see a photo of a young man named Frank and his wife and child and two of our missionaries who are studying the Bible with him in his village of La Avanzada, Guatemala. Oftentimes when we talk about short-term mission, congregation members ask, well, I'm not a trained evangelist. How can I help? How can I make disciples if I'm only going to be there for 8 days? Well, one of the things that we have our teams do is deliver Bibles to homes and just stop in, visit with the people. Hopefully you've got someone with you that speaks Spanish, or we send a translator with you. You read a Bible verse, you pray together, and you start a relationship that's based on the love of Jesus. That's just what happened with Frank. And if we go to the next slide, you can see Frank here. He came running out to a team from Nebraska that visited again after they'd been there 1 year. And he said, you know, you've made such a difference. You brought me the Word of God, and this book has changed my life. Frank is now a small group leader and leads in La Avanzada and Quebrada de Agua, villages in the mountains in Guatemala. And the guy on the right, Elio, is his discipleship mentor, who meets with him weekly to keep him growing. Our next area of focus beyond committed disciples is thriving churches. Here you see a leadership retreat in Guatemala, and you see Pastor Jose Angel in Panama baptizing a new member of his congregation. And again, you know, how can lay people help? They can help by coaching and equipping leaders, by bringing new ministry ideas from their home congregations, and by helping the folks in this region care for their facilities. So often there are natural disasters in Central America, and often it's beyond the congregation's capability to meet with those challenges. This picture shows two thriving congregations in Panama. One is having a music program where they're teaching kids music in their church facility. And the other one shows a mission in a village called Las Nubes. There's a tiny church of indigenous people, Kuna people, in Loma Cova, and they have started a mission in a village that's even further up the mountain. Our next area of focus is healthy communities. A lot of our work is focused on nutrition for people. It's focused on education, healthcare, water, and really building a sense of community. Sometimes we do that by actually putting up a community building. And I have a little video to show you of an example of a church in Minnesota that built something for a community to improve.
Jacob, I'm a Christian pastor. Also a missionary. I bring you greetings from Christians in East Africa, also Christians in America. So every time you pick up a pickaxe or a machete or a shovel or you get the sand and the cement, I want you to remember that you are building the kingdom of God to restore relationships.
Is that a cafe in the morning?
Yes.
Si.
Cafe y
pan.
So usually in the morning the students will take coffee and bread. But now with this kitchen, it can be a greater variety, yes?
So you see there an example of how they're having an impact on the community by providing that outdoor kitchen. You received a bulletin insert that on the first week of July that talked about a trip that we were sending to do volcano relief. And these are some photos that were taken on that trip, and I just wanted to report back to you a little bit about what they were able to accomplish. It was just three people that went and served alongside Dr. Elry Orozco, who's also a pastor. And they were able to minister to mind, body, and spirit in providing music. Celia brought her ukulele and played for the people in the shelter when they were there. They passed out the New Testament in Spanish, and they were able to see 350 medical patients in the week that they were there. They had just Dr. Elry and one nurse, and the other two people, Celia and Kim, both were fluent in Spanish, and so they were able to kind of work the pharmacy and help explain medications to people and really serve those people who are still suffering so terribly from the disruption in their lives from the volcano. The people that we're working with are not people whose homes were actually hit by the lava, but they're people who are displaced by it as, you know, part of the next ring of impact. Next group of photos here is in Nicaragua. I don't know if you've been following the news stories in Nicaragua, but there were protests when some changes were made to Social Security, and those protests turned violent. And as a continued protest action, a lot of the protesters, I guess, for lack of a better word, barricaded main highways in the country, and that has disrupted virtually everything. Because of the violence, many of our Lutheran congregations in Nicaragua, the congregation members are afraid to leave their homes. They're afraid to go to work. They're afraid to go to a grocery store because you can't get through the roads. They have cement barricades across the roads, and it's dangerous to approach the protesters and to try and get by them. So you see Pastor Hector wearing a Thrivent t-shirt in a couple of these pictures. He requested help from Calms, and we sent down a couple $1,000 for him to buy food commodities and then go and deliver to the congregation member families so that they didn't have to feel that terror of having to go out to the store. And, you know, Calms would really, because we have had to cancel all of our trips to Nicaragua because of the unrest there, we would really covet your prayers for a peaceful resolution to this protest action. There had been speculation in the news that if they did not settle this within 2 weeks, it would turn into a slow-burning civil war, and it appears as though that's what's happening. So please pray for our brothers and sisters in Nicaragua. Next slide. There are so many different opportunities for people to serve. You can, as a congregation, decide to form one of these relationships with a village where you would continue to visit on a yearly basis. You can individually join one of our relief teams and go and serve in that way. There are prayer partner support features for people like Frank and Elio that I told you a little bit about, just all kinds of things. I'll be around after the service if you want to ask any further questions. And I do have the little exploratory adventure trip information if you want to pick that up. But thank you so much.
Lord, I pray over Lori right now, and I ask that you would guard her heart and continue to sustain her in the opportunities you give her to share and call forward congregations, individuals, families, groups to meet and serve the needs of your church across the world. Lord, just continue to bless her and encourage her and watch over her. Just pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. All right, now if you just go sit right there. Children, come on down. Did you hear what Miss Lori was talking about today? Yes. She was inviting us, which includes even little kids. Did you see that one picture where the mother even brought her little child along? All right. That's good. And she was inviting all of us to come join, wasn't she? Now, I want to use a big word today that I'm going to use in my sermon. And I'm going to kind of use and talk about it in a way that maybe you can understand. Have I ever taught you the word hypocrite? All right. A hypocrite is a pretender. Someone who pretends, I love you, but really hates you. They pretend to like you, but they don't really like you at all. They pretend to be good. Good. They pretend to do what God wants them to, but they aren't really doing what God wants them to. hypocrite wears what we call masks. Have you ever worn a mask and pretended you were Spider-Man or Wonder or somebody? All right, well, they wear masks. Now, if she was wearing a mask when I asked Lori this question, Lori, would you go down to Central America and visit those strange people down there? And she said, no, then she would be a hypocrite because she would be pretending to care about people far away and little children far away. But if I looked at her and said, Lori, would you go down there and take two or three or five of us with you? We'll pay your way. And she said, yes, I will go. Then we'd know she's not pretending. All right? So is she a pretender? No. Is she a hypocrite? No. Come here, Lori. Would you actually go down to those strange places you showed us on those pictures and visit those people? And even care about their kids?
I'd do it again.
Hear that? No pretending. You get to sit down. Thank you. No pretending. Now, little people and big people sometimes pretend. We pretend we're being good when we're not. We pretend we didn't do something wrong when we actually did do something wrong. So here's what I want you to listen for in the sermon. I'm going to use the word hypocrite. Okay? A hypocrite is somebody who pretends that they're something that they're not. Pretend they love people, but they don't go to help them. Pretend they care, but they don't really care. That's what I want you to hear about. We're going to talk about in the sermon. Because God is telling mostly big people, but also little people, don't be a hypocrite. Okay, don't be a hypocrite. So, for instance, if I told you, I have a treat for you, and I go, ha, 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 no, I don't, get out of here. Then I would be a pretender, right? I would be a hypocrite, yes. But I'm not. I actually do have a treat for you. Are you ready for this? Good. What's that word? Well done. Good for you. They're all the same, so just grab one. One of you grab one, take it back to Lori. Give her two. Yeah, give her two. There's her and her husband back there. Take one for you. There you go. That's good. Take one. There you go. Find Lori. Give her one or two. There you go. There she is. Tell her thank you for helping out with the children's sermon. Give one to her husband. There we go. There we go. Oh, that's too bad. All right. Wait a minute. I'm teasing. Come here. Come here, hon. Ta-da. Thank you for doing that. Oh, hypocrite. Amen. All right, did you like our verses for the day? Terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God. As long as it's not me getting beat, you know, it's kind of like when you were growing up. You have brothers or sisters, and they're the ones getting yelled at, and you're just going, you know, pretending like you really care or something like that. I was reading this text, and I was watching and reading in Acts, trying to finish up the little left that we have in Acts. And I was studying the story of Paul. And Paul is being warned repeatedly, don't go to Jerusalem, don't go to Jerusalem. And he is prepared to go to Jerusalem. And he's got prophets coming to him and saying, no, they're going to bind your hands and feet. They're going to take you away. They're going to kill you, Paul. And Paul's so convinced of that, what they're saying to him, that he says, I will not see you again, as he said goodbye to a certain group of people he was hanging with. And they start to cry because they know this was going to be the last time they see him alive. And yet at the same time, they're all begging him, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. Stay here. Stay here. And Paul said, no. He said, not only am I willing to go to Jerusalem and suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it even means my death, I'm going to go. Now, there wasn't any hypocrisy in him. And you know it because he goes, and even though the prophecies warned him, and they do come true, and by the time you get to the end of Acts, he's been taken to Rome, and that's where he is, with the threat of being executed and other things. Paul continues to stand firm in his faith for the Lord. No hypocrisy. So I went back to this passage in Luke, one that we've maybe heard before, or maybe you haven't, and it started talking about, now notice, this one says, thousands of people are gathered. Now, I've always tried to picture this in my mind, and I've got a pretty loud voice, but I've always wondered, how in the world did thousands of people hear the message and the ministry? But there were so many, it says, they were stepping, trampling on one another, trying to get close enough to Jesus to hear and see him. And it says, Jesus began to talk to his disciples, and he said, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrite, hypocrisy, pretending but not really being legit. Please understand, these disciples had only been following him, what, a maximum of 3 years? Some for less than that, two and a half. And already he was warning them of how easy it is to become a hypocrite, to get caught in, yes, I would do that for Jesus, but you never do. I would give that for Jesus, but you never do. And you don't realize it's such a serious sin that here's Jesus talking to the group around him, thousands of witnesses all around. He says, don't get trapped in the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, which is pretending, creating an illusion for yourself that no one else knows about. You got a secret sin? Dear Lord, expose every one of our secret sins. You want me to pray that prayer? I'd have a hard time praying it for myself. Everything you think in secret, do in secret, struggle with in secret, behave every time you start looking at the wrong person, thinking the wrong thought, all of that we're going to bring out into the open. We're going to expose secret sin. Why? Because I hate the sin of hypocrisy, the Lord said. How easy it is to get caught in it, that disciples who'd only been disciples for maybe 2 to 3 years, like I said, already being warned, don't get caught in this sin of hypocrisy, which is like a yeast. It starts small. It's just a little bit, well, I won't tell my mom. You ever done that one? My parents don't need to know. They really don't need to understand what I did with that boy or that girl. I'm an adult now. I'm 18, 19, 20, 17, 14, 12. Have you found how easy hypocrisy is to grow into? How easy it is to start when you're even a little child? You start it with that little, I didn't knock that over. I didn't push my little brother or sister down. And it creeps into your life before you even understand what the word hypocrisy means. And you become a hypocrite. And then you justify a greater sin that your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your husband, or wife doesn't need to know about. Could you handle my hypocrisy if I shared it with you? Are you sure? Could I trust you with my hypocrisy? You see, there's not just a single side to this issue. It has multiple ways that people are impacted. Sometimes we're afraid to share the reality. Why? My mom will go ballistic. She'll lose it. My dad won't understand. They don't even remember what it was like to be 16, 17, 22, 37, 49, 50. They won't get it. And so I will keep my secret sin secret. And I'll even keep it secret from myself. And I'll pretend that it's hidden, that it's under the cover of darkness, that no one will know, or that it won't ever be found out. And so here's Jesus talking to Christians who had only been Christians for 2.5 years or less. And he's calling them out on hypocrisy. What, do you think you don't have any? You haven't smiled at someone and say, oh, I like you so much. You look really nice in that dress. Oh, is that thing ugly? Yes. Oh, you sing so well. Oh, you play so well. Oh, you this or that so well. I really enjoy talking to you. I hope you go away soon. You haven't been a hypocrite? You haven't experienced those moments? You haven't discovered them in the framework of courteousness and excuse making and self-justification? I'm lonely. You don't understand how lonely I am. I got to have something to justify my sin. My husband does not understand me. This is my release. This is the way I only go on the internet some of the time. My wife doesn't get it. My kids wouldn't get it. And what we begin to do is get caught in the yeast of the hypocrisy of sin, which creeps into the hearts of each and every one of us, which moves its way in a little bit different in her than in him or in her. It moves through us, and it begins to make us pay a price. And the price is unbelievable destruction. The price is the undermining of our families. The price is secret sin. The price is, why is Satan have a hand on my family? Why is my marriage under such pressure? Why is this happening in my life? And I go, because God says, don't get caught in this. It's like yeast, and it spreads into your life, and it infects you. I use the analogy like with a cancer. We found a tumor inside of you, and they said, all right, we're going to go in, and we're going to remove 9/10 of the tumor. What's the first question you'd ask? What? Why would you leave 9/10 or a portion of the cancerous tumor there? Well, we just thought it'd keep you humble. We just thought you need something to worry about. Shut up, doc. You either take it out or I'm getting a different doctor. But when God comes along and he says, I'm coming into your life and I'm going to deal with hypocrisy and inconsistencies and all the things you and I get caught in, we have a tendency to go, can I keep hanging on to this one thing? Can I at least hang on to this sin? Does everyone need to know? You understand? And so my challenge first this morning, like the disciples, is please understand Jesus Christ is calling us out of hypocrisy into integrity, out of keeping things hidden into bringing them out into the light. The second thing I need to address, though, is the courage for you to accept, I have got stuff I deal with that you don't know about. And so do you. Can you love me even when you find out about it? Or do you really think I'm the only pastor with problems or secrets kept from his congregation or family or anyone else? Do you really think you're the only teenager who keeps a portion of their life, actions, behavior away from their mom, their dad, their friends or acquaintances? Do you really think you're the only woman who struggles with your particular kind of sin or a man who struggles with your kind of sin? Well, as long as you keep it hidden, there is no healing in that area of your life. It's like keeping an active cancerous growth growing inside of you and wondering why you're getting tired, more sickly, and everything else when you have this opportunity to have the doctor remove it all so that you don't have to deal with all the other side effects. And you say, no, just leave it there, doc. And so Jesus looks at his disciples and he commands them, I don't want any hypocrisy in you. And you have to find that person to share it with. If you're over 50, who would you be willing to mentor and love if she told you her secret sin? She's having an affair on her husband. Gentlemen, who would you be willing to love if he tells you he's having an affair on his wife? Who would you be willing to care enough about to understand that God sent us here to save sinners? God sent us here to not deal pretending with our hypocrisy. Or pretend, oh, wow, that's too bad. That's your sin. I don't have any sins like that in my life. I never struggle with this feeling or that feeling. Pornography, bad movies, bad songs, bad stuff I listen to on the radio. Hugging and kissing my boyfriend and seeing how far I'll go with him. That's really not all that bad. And so I just, no, I don't have that problem. And so we create a church filled with hypocrites where the yeast of disease, of sin, creeps through the lives of each one of us, keeping us from being accepting, loving, forgiving, tender-hearted, missing opportunities to truly confess sins, and worse, being able to hear someone else and intercede for them until they gain the victory God's always intended for them over that particular sin that's in their life. There's a call to righteousness here, to holiness, to walking in the power of the Holy Spirit without compromise. I do not want you to get caught in the same sin the Pharisees get caught in. They were so stupid, so blind, so evil, they thought it a joy to kill the Savior. Oh, that had never happened to you. What do you mean it won't? What makes you think you're so insulated? Well, I'm 16. This is what 16-year-olds do. I said, no, it's not. This is what 16-year-olds do who are hypocrites, caught in sin, who are paying the price already, while Satan sucks the life from them each time they pretend it isn't there. What does he say? Look what he points out. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing hidden, concealed, that will not be revealed, disclosed, made clear. They will find out. God certainly already knows. Point next. There's nothing concealed. I'm just going. What it says that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed from the housetops. What does Pastor Harmon really think of Jim Senske? Lord, help Brian speak out his innermost thoughts right now. Amen, brother. Aha, we'll receive that. Do you understand what she's going? Do you really so naive to think that you're not going to have to deal with it? You can deal with it now? You can repent of it now? Or you're going to have to bow the knee and find out, I didn't realize my hypocrisy had created a false illusion that I still love Jesus. I thought I was really a believer, but I stopped being a believer when I was 17. I didn't even know it. I thought I was still okay. I thought I had enough people around me who were really bad and a lot who were worse than I was. And so I just never noticed it. I was like a frog in water that was set on fire until it killed my faith. And I boiled to death. I mean, I still look kind of Christian. I still had all the Christian words. I knew what righteousness meant and Savior and Jesus and church. And I once in a while would go and I'd sing the songs. But somewhere along the way, I died. Why? Because hypocrisy is a sin that destroys the person who commits it. That's the worst consequence of it. I think I shared with you another Sunday or two ago. I said, the easiest person to lie to is yourself. The easiest person to believe your own lies is you. It's called hypocrisy. And pretty soon you'll think you're saved and you're totally damned. Welcome to what a Pharisee is. Do you understand? A Pharisee's convinced he's really still saved. But he will kill Jesus with his bare hands if he gets the chance. How did he turn into that kind of an individual? How do we get to be from kids who are sincere and in our Sunday school or in our confirmation or growing up, and all of a sudden we become these hypocrites? We use the right words, but we don't have any of the fruit. It's not showing up. Why? Because there is no life in us. Why? Because the yeast of the Pharisees has taken and sucked the life out of every part of my life and existence. Will you go to those children who are hungry? Remember, I told you I watched that thing on YouTube and I had the screens, and he'd put up on the screen a picture of little kids. He had just been to Africa and talked about feeding the hungry. He said, tell Jesus yes or no. Don't tell me. And I go, it's a lot easier to lie to the middleman. Kids, Lord Jesus is saying to you, honor your father and your mother. Honor them. Tell them the truth. Where you're lying to them, step up and tell them the truth. Why? Because hypocrisy will kill you. Oh, you might sit in church for another year or two, but you'll be gone. If you can't bring your relationship into the light, there's something wrong with the relationship. And I don't care how strange it sounds, but if you're married, I hope you're making love to one another and enjoying each other's company and all the other things that that means. But if you're not married and you're not committed and you wouldn't be really willing to share what you're doing, there's something wrong. It's called hypocrisy. And it creeps into old men's lives, young men's lives. It creeps into men and women. You don't escape it if you're not careful. It sucks the juice out of everything you are until you're a hollow individual who still has the name Christian tattooed somewhere across his forehead, but their heart is empty. The spirit is left. And so the challenge is this. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that, that can do no more, but I will show you who you should fear. Fear him who after killing the body has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows worth sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth much more than many sparrows. And that's supposed to be good news. But it also means, oh, Lord, I didn't know you really wanted me to deal with this hidden part of my life. And he goes, Bruce, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the Almighty God. Are you listening? Well, Lord, it won't be found out. It won't be found out. Yes, it will. And it doesn't have to be some gory sin. Sometimes it's just a bitterness, an anger, a hatred, a frustration, a wickedness that you have hidden in your heart that you're trying to justify. And you wonder why your kids don't break free from their own bitterness, anger, and hatred. It's because they're learning it as they watch you live it out. There is a call of God to live away from hypocrisy. There's a call of God to transparency. There's a call of God to wholeness. It is a call of righteousness. It's a call that sets you free. It's a call that proclaims victory over every part of your and my life. God is not out to destroy Bruce Harmon. He's out to make me bend the knee and say, oh Lord, it is me that needs to repent to you today. Before that last moment comes, when he speaks, depart from me, I have no idea who you are. So hypocrisy, a dread sin that deceives the person who commits it until they're so hollow inside, they have no life of Jesus Christ left. They have only the shell of Christianity on their outside. But inside there's dead, and there is no life at all. Pray with me. Hear the invitation of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Come follow me. Turn away from any hypocrisy in your life. Let the Spirit of God, who has begun this good work in you, allow it to manifest and be fruitful to its full completion. And when I speak my heart to you, the Lord says, it's time to say yes. Turn away from sin, turn to righteousness, turn to integrity, turn to purity. No matter how small, no matter how inconsistent, the moment you go clean, you get to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit at a level you've never walked before. Jesus Christ hated hypocrisy. It was the hypocrites that he could do nothing with because they were convinced that they were still saved. Lord Jesus, no hypocrisy in your church, in your people, in our families. Help women confess to women, men confess to men. Wherever that relationship has to be established, Lord, open up avenues and doorways for that to take place, and give us hearts that are willing to receive and love and show mercy. And in that, Lord, build your church. We pray this in your name. Amen.